Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
Welcome to Bravo Happy Hour. I'm your host, Megan O'Donnell, and this episode is all about Vanderpump Rules, baby. We'll be breaking down the season 10 trailer, recapping a bit of what happened last season, and discussing what our predictions are for the rest of season 10. Today's guest is Vinny Urbazzo. He's a Dallas-based photographer, having shot with John Legend, Carrie Underwood. He's been featured in Harper's Bazaar, Dallas Voice, D Magazine, and he's also worked with Coach Monica from Cheer on her book, Full Out. He's also the host of the Vindicated Show podcast and runs his own photography business in Dallas called the Vince David Photos. So if you're in Dallas and want some professional pics, hit up our boy Vinny.
Hit me
Welcome
up.
Welcome to the
hit
show.
I'm so excited to be here. Long time fan.
Wow. Okay.
We're officially back on.
I know. This is the first episode back of Bravo Happy Hour. And I was planning on doing a January 23 news episode, but I ended up just like not feeling good about the structure of it because I want to keep it about an hour and it's a month of news. I just really didn't organize it. So I would say about like three stories into my outline and I was like an hour and 10 minutes in. And then I was like, okay, like this is not good. I was like, I think I'm going to start next month and have a little bit more of a clear way of doing things and organizing things because even like Jen Shaw's arrest last month, like that is its own episode.
You can go into like a whole thing with that, with the arrest. Yeah. There's just so much to talk about. And you've been gone we were talking about it before the podcast, for almost a year and 8 months. So just in 1 month, how much Bravo news can come out. So it's just probably just spilling out of you now. And you're just ready. You're ready to go, baby.
She's ready. Okay. First and foremost. She ready. Have you been following any of the Cheer drama lately about the girl Gabby doing blackface and then I guess like Ladarius from Cheer I guess like wasn't standing up for her and then he posted a video on TikTok of them hooking up, Gabby and Ladarius, which
I did not hear about this. I saw something, someone had posted, I think Bravo Historian posted Bravo. On IG the That's other right. day. All I saw was something with Gabby Butler and Ladarius Marshall. They were in bed together making out. And she was like, oh, so wait, hold on. Did they have sex? Does Coach Monica know? And I didn't know like the background story. I didn't know the background. So what happened with that?
So I don't know all of the specifics of the situation. Generally, when blackface is involved, I kind of tiptoe around.
Steer the other way.
Yeah, I'm like, well, we don't need that, Gabby. And so I guess, like, right. There was a hazing thing at her 15th year of college. I feel like these people should have fucking medical degrees at this point. Like, every year, they're like, yeah, back at Navarro!
Right.
Like, for what? Another communications degree? But I guess there was some kind of hazing ritual where girls on the team, you know, did blackface. They didn't realize what they were doing, obviously. I just like couldn't imagine ever doing that and then not thinking like this feels
it just
wrong.
Might not
like,
be
even
a
if,
good idea.
Yeah, we know critical race theory is, you know, very difficult for some people to understand, or just like the history of, you know, black people in our country is maddeningly difficult right. for people to understand. But I guess she had this picture of her that people posted, then rather than like I think, you know, addressing it and being like, I'm so sorry. She posted pictures of those girls doing it. She's like, oh, you think I could
look
do blackface?
Yeah,
look at their blackface.
Look over there. Theirs is better.
Pretty disgusting. And so I guess then Ladarius, again, this like my news sources right now is like my group chat of friends who like are obsessed with fear bullshit. So again, don't quote me, but I guess Ladarius then was like, fuck her. I used to like stand for her. We also used to hook up. And then he posts this video where she's like laying on his chest and they're like sensually making out. Like I was into it.
And then
it gets layers of like, oh God. Like,
well, the layers come in. See, when I first saw it, I was like, okay. I can go for this relationship here. Cause that was left out of the TV series, obviously. And I don't think I'll find that in Miss Monica's book, but I didn't know all this was on the back end. So that's kind of, so it's basically Ladarius being petty over the huge mistake that Gabby did, obviously. And they just didn't go about like talking about it correctly, as young people usually do not. Just let's show receipts. We're all shitty people. Why not?
Right? It's like,
that's so stupid if you think about it now, but oh Jesus. I actually took photos of Gabby when she was in Dallas, like right in the middle of their, I guess right after their first season came out.
They were
all pretty cool. That's how I ended up meeting Monica that same day. They were having an event. She let me come take photos of them. So the photos that I took of Monica when I met her, she ended up using that. She asked me if she could use it for her book. So I'm in her book. I got my name on it. It was my first published book published in. So that was fun. Yeah. So I always have good memories.
That's a big deal.
I know. Huge.
Very cool. Well, great job on that. And again, book Vinny, if you are in Dallas, I need some photos. Your guys.
Yes, ma'am. All right.
Vanderpump Rules season 10. I was hoping that 10 years, like the 10 year anniversary of something, would be gold, so I could have made like a good as gold joke. But it's tin. I got nothing for tin. But this is season 10, which is pretty amazing for a reality show in general. And to have some people on the current cast who are from season one is even more impressive. You know, our girl Sheena, I guess, and then Tom and Katie. And
Ariana was on the first season.
Andy. Oh yeah, Ariana.
But she wasn't featured. She wasn't featured as much.
So season 10, baby, we're back. First episode will be out on Wednesday, February 8th, 9 p.m. on Bravo or Peacock. I'm loving Peacock right now.
I mean, just the trailer got us reignited as a Bravo Nation family.
And we
just in those 2 minutes, because everyone was talking shit on Vanderpump, whether or not it was gonna be having a 10 season or not, because the last eighth and ninth season, I mean, they weren't up to par like they were previously.
Yeah, I mean, I think with COVID and then the mass firings, I think the show lost its identity. It lost a little bit of, you know, the spark of why we liked it. And as they were kind of growing up and getting more money and their lives were kind of changing, and so people were getting married and having children, like, that's growing pains for these people, in addition to the show, where it was once focused on like messy ass waiters and waitresses trying to be actors and models. And now it's like, oh, I'm watching Tom Schwartz, who's like a bloviating drunk, you know, buy a $2 million home. Like this ain't it. Like, this is not really what we want to see. And again, like, I'm not someone who's like, I just want them to still be in their shitty apartments and having a shitty life. Like, no. Like,
well, we still want to see them be drunk. We still want to see them be alcoholics. But, I mean, you're starting to get nestled up and cozy when you buy a $2 million house that maybe you can't afford. We don't really know. We still want to see you out and about. Sure, several times. But I'm just so pumped just from that trailer. And I actually think it served more than a lot of trailers have just recently that we've seen from a lot of Bravo shows.
The storylines, I think, mainly will be about Tom and Katie breaking up, and then now everybody is single. So it's kind of going back to their old ways. And Tom and Katie breaking up is not really surprising. So we're obviously going to see the divorce play out. And the first scene of the trailer is Tom Schwartz, you know, saying,
there's a divorce success story.
Which is never a good sign when you're saying that. No.
Not off the bat, though. Not off the bat in the beginning of the trailer. The first thing you see, I think we're going to be a divorce success story. And they just cheers with alcohol. When you put alcohol right there in between, I guess we'll have to figure that out.
Yeah, I feel like they have never been to a dinner that didn't really center the conversation around, like, breaking up or, like, deeply apologizing. Like, I feel like there's no fun in their relationship. And there hasn't really been, even in what should be a blissful point of their life, like, getting married and having their friends and family around. Like, Schwartz is just, like, always crying. Like, I don't know many men who, like, or sobbing on their bachelor trips, like when they're supposed to be just like hanging with their buds and like having fun, and he's literally crying in drag on a toilet, probably like coked out.
He's a battered man.
He's a battered wife, and he kicks the door. That perfect like thin shot of just him sitting on the toilet
with the thin eyebrows.
I can't even imagine. Oh god, the thin eyebrows,
which have made a comeback, and, by the way.
Oh, I know. I really hope Amelia, is it Amelia Bell? Or
yeah,
I always get Lisa Rinna's daughter's names wrong, but the one who looks like Marilyn Manson right now.
Yes, and Julia Fox. They're trying to bring, I think Tom Schwartz was kind of like, you know, channeling his inner future Julia Fox. But at the same time, he did not obviously did not want to marry Katie Maloney. You know, and that was a very, you know, telling of their future story. So I think like you said, this beginning of this season is going to probably start off like nice and fun between the two of them. Obviously, getting divorced is not fun, but just from the trailer, it looks like it's going to be juicy on their downfall, which I'm here to see.
I do feel like Tequila Katie will be back. Like I'm having rage texts vibes. Like I really feel like it's not going to be good. And one of the plot points that they show within the trailer, which now I'm like calling them plot points because they're not really like, I feel like, things happening in their real life. It's just like a suggestion by a producer, and they're like, all right, I guess Raquel will kiss Tom. And so we see Tom Schwartz and Raquel smooching, I think, on like two or three different occasions. And obviously, you know, that's breaking a girl code, it's breaking a boy code. I feel like she's going to rip poor little Raquel a new one, and it's going to be the Bambi-eyed bitch fight 2.0.
Yeah, which I'm here to see, because obviously, come on, it's girl code. Bambi-eyed bitch, why are you, he's freshly divorced, you know what I mean? And we don't know what, you know, all the details are yet, but, you know, if that was me, I'd be pretty pissed. Dude, give it like a year or two at least.
It seemed a little
convenient,
forced in a way, and yeah, convenient. And I can't believe Raquel is thinking that this is a good route. We do see Raquel smooching with Garcelle Bouvet's son, Oliver, who's a hottie, who's like now working at one of the restaurants. I think he's at Tom Tom, but he's messy. Like I do know with his ex-wife and the kids,
he cheated on his ex-wife.
And what is Raquel doing? What is she doing? Like he's other married. Men.
So she's married. Messing with some dude that just got divorced, and now, on top of that, cherry on the cake. Let me kiss a dude who's actually married. And how do you not know that when he's got an Instagram and like obviously has kids? Not a good route. Not a good look for Raquel at all this season.
And she's also just like freshly out of an engagement. Like she had an engagement party that was bigger than most weddings. And she's like, you know what? That relationship meant absolutely nothing. Now I'm also going to torch my friendships and my relationship with my ex, because God knows James is not going to be thrilled with this. Yes, he's moved on. And yes, the one like phrase they put of James talking about his new girlfriend, Allie, in this is like, I'm going to knock her up. It's like, I'm going to put babies in that woman one day. It's like, bro,
oh
like,
Jesus!
You can't just say like, "I've met my match." No, he's going to, you know, impregnate.
Well, James
her.
Is gonna fuck it up. He's gonna fuck it up at some point. You know he is, especially now that he's drinking. A woman can only tolerate so much of a man's drinking, especially when they have a history of like talking shit to people, out of care. Yeah, just straight on rage, talking shit to the partner. I mean, it's not going to end well for James or her, I don't think. Especially with apparently Lala and James had hooked up at this point sometime during the season.
Yeah, so that's teased a little bit. Lala says, well, James and I have hooked up. And you have to wonder, is it hooked up this year while they've both been out of relationships or when they were younger years ago and it was on the show? But I agree with you. I think things are not really going to end well for James.
He's seen some shit. Yeah, he's definitely damaged. But James brings great character to the show because he's a very you can like spin him around and he's got all these different facets to him. Like he is endearing. He can go on a rager. He's sober. He's drunk. He loves really hard. He'll lie straight to your face and then he'll be super honest to your face. So I think that's what makes for a great.
It's like a Greek tragedy.
Yeah, it's a great character to have on a reality TV show. And, you know, just with his sobriety journey, I think that was pretty awesome for him to go as long as he did. And then to find out in the trailer, he's no longer sober. And the best moments from James since he's been on the show, it's all when he's been wasted, which I'm excited to see.
Yeah. I know.
I mean, even the Chris and Doty of it all, you know, that whole relationship. When they were both intoxicated, which was just great reality television.
Yeah, those were two people who should not have been dating. And again, we've seen James in some questionable situations, but I think he respected Raquel a little bit more than Kristen. But those texts last season where he's like, "You're a fucking slut. You're this." Like, in no way would I ever receive that from my partner, like, unless whatever you were doing something slutty and you cheated or whatever, like,
right?
I don't know, like, maybe if you deserved it because of your own actions,
wasn't the case. But, I mean,
yeah, it definitely was not the case. I feel like she just like stayed out and got really drunk, and James, I also don't think I like, could really handle that Raquel is going out with the girls and having a bunch of drinks and taking shots where he can't do that. And I don't think when one partner is sober that the other person needs to be sober. Obviously, every relationship is different and everybody has a different relationship with alcohol and whatnot. But a guy like him, I can't really imagine him ever being able to really like move forward with his life unless he like completely changes his life and like removes.
Yeah, that's like, not going to happen.
That's all he does.
That's all he knows.
Exactly. And it's just sad to watch him inevitably ruin another relationship. And this new poor girl even says to him on the show, like, "I prefer you when you're not drinking." It's like, honey, you watch the show?
you know she streamed all that shit leading up to the damn relationship. And you still want to go out here and be with this dude? Well, maybe it's because he was sober at the time, but maybe he ain't sober now. So watch out. It's like deer in the headlights there.
When I was watching the season 9 reunion the other day to prep for this episode, one of the things that was upsetting was when James was talking about his relationship with Raquel ending, and he said, he's like, "I got sober for her. I cleaned up my act for her. I worked on my rage for her. I did all this stuff
for her."
And I was, and I still, like, wasn't happy with her. Like, we still didn't have it. And, like, if I could be all these things and be healthy when I'm with her and I still, like, don't love her, then, like, is it worth being sober? Is it worth being with her? We'll definitely be seeing some like one-on-one scenes with him and Lisa where he's like, "Lisa, please, you're the only one who has stuck by me.
Give me another chance, Lisa. Please don't do this." Which I love. I love to see a good James grovel. Because it's real. It's really him at his core. Like, please. Because he looks up to Lisa. I think he really does.
It's definitely like a mommy son thing. I think like the British
the most
aspect,
toxic way though.
Oh, totally. Well, she you know, dangles his career and his life in front of him. She's like, "Oh, James, you know, like come work at my bar and, you know, do these, see you next Tuesday nights." And then she takes it away and then she gives it back to him. "Lisa, please, can I do it?" Like, That's his livelihood. And even like,
see you next Tuesday is mine, Lisa. Don't do it. Oh, but James, you've been a very bad boy.
I mean, nothing is better when like he got see you next Tuesday taken away from him because of whatever drunken antics he pulled at one of her establishments. And she was like, and instead, Katie Maloney is going to host a pajama party.
A fucking pajama
like,
party.
I'm sorry. Like,
that's so petty.
See you next Tuesday is probably so fun. And then for her to be like, you know what, Katie Maloney, we're going to get some random DJ and you're going to
like
put
his
on
absolute worst enemy.
His nemesis. And James was like, are they going to do it every week? Like, they don't understand. Like, this is actually hard work. And then you see Katie, who, like, is allergic to doing hard work. She was like...
literally, she's like, breaks out in hives whenever she has to lift her hand that, for something that includes work.
Yeah.
Jesus.
She was like, wait, I'm going to have to do this every week? It's like, bitch, you just walked into a bar and had five drinks and said hi to some fans and then went home.
And Lisa literally gave it to you. You didn't have to do anything but show up.
Yeah, like, oh my God. Oh
Katie's
God.
The worst. I'm sorry. I've tried over 10 years to really like Katie, but she just has
over
this 10 like.
Years. It's been a decade of going back.
10
and
years. Probably more than that.
Probably. But
literally, she has this victim complex. And I understand she's had so many things happen to her that you should take into account. Like, she is a victim in many ways in terms of Tom's cheating and how people treat her in regards to her, you know, body positivity and stuff. But she kind of falls into that sometimes and kind of does it to herself. And I don't really, last season, I understood she was trying to get involved with Tom's business, Schwartz and Shandy's. How do you say it?
Yeah, Schwartz and Sandy's.
Yeah, that was such a horror. I was like, Katie, why are you getting involved? Like, let them figure that out. Ariana's not doing it. Ariana's not getting involved. But she wants to be in the mix. I mean, what happened to Katie's lip? What was it, lipstick business that she had a couple years ago? Is that still a thing?
Oh, I don't even know if it was a lipstick. I feel like it was a makeup blog with about a couple posts potentially about lipstick.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was just a blog.
And they are lost, like you said, like they are a little lost, but I mean, they could take so much advantage just from having the show for so long. I'm surprised that they don't have like something like a Schwartz and Sandy's yet. And I know they were talking last season about that sandwich shop. I don't know what came of that.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with the sandwich shop. I think I saw on the Bravo app that on the Bravo website that in September they did like a sandwich tasting for something about her, which was a topic of conversation that came up in season 9. It was not touched in the trailer at all. So I think that's something we'll probably be dealing with towards the end of the season, because I feel like it's probably very much a work in progress. So the producers are like, let's not make this like a through line in the story, because we don't know if this place is ever actually going to open. And we already have one business that we're, you know, showing that is going to quote unquote fail immediately. Like the way they're showing Schwartz and Sandy's, is so like sad and depressing.
Yeah, we're under budget. We're definitely under budget.
Yeah, you two are not under budget. I can tell from a mile away that Schwartz and Sandy's cost.
Lisa was like, really? You're under budget? On that reunion
Lisa's
last
like,
season.
Lisa has definitely called their bullshit on this whole restaurant endeavor. And like they were saying last season, you know, this is their first bar restaurant that these two are owning. They've never owned a restaurant. Yes, you can work at a restaurant, but there's probably different skill sets that you have to understand, and also having just like a general mind for business is like maybe needed a little bit, especially when you're Tom Schwartz and Tom Sandoval, and you know they haven't really shown a track record of being reliable employees. But I think, you know, it was maybe last season or two seasons ago when they were in Vegas with Lisa and Ken for something. The two of them like showed up to their meeting like so wasted. They're both like taking shots of like vodka in those little nips bottles like before the meeting. They were like, this is the only way we're gonna get through it. It's like, who wants like a walking like sweat stain to come into a business meeting and like represent your brand? Like I just feel like they really like didn't know what they were doing, but we're going to obviously see the restaurant open up. And it actually seems really nice. I was on Yelp and it looked really beautiful. Like, they did a nice job. It's definitely got some funky decor, but I wouldn't expect anything else from Mr. Sandoval. And there's, you would not ever know that Schwartz had anything to do with any part of this restaurant. It really is another example of Tom Schwartz
work ethic.
Yeah, failing upwards. It's
outrageous. I mean, it's definitely more of, you can tell the Schwartz and Sandy's restaurant or bar or whatever, it's more of a Tom Sandoval love affair kind of thing. Like, you can tell Tom Sandoval so into that whole business aspect and just design. And obviously I think he's probably a better cocktail maker than Schwartz is, for sure, because he's been doing it for so long.
I don't think Schwartz ever really was a bartender. They showed him bartending, I think, at like Villa Blanca one time, and he had a panic attack.
He failed at that.
Like 20 minutes.
He's a failure. Like, which goes back to what Katie said in the trailer. Oh, you're a loser.
Yeah. What did she say? She said, you're a pathetic, drunk loser.
Loser.
And she's honestly not wrong. And
definitely not.
So many, you know, attractive white dudes go very far in life by doing the bare minimum. And he's a perfect example of that. And in the beginning, I always found him really charming and he was cute. But the shtick has gotten old.
No, for sure. Tom is what was the appeal with Tom from the beginning? I mean, what was it, season 2 where he poured that drink over Katie? Oh. Everyone should have been like, how did you guys forget that? You're supposed to be having a good time with your girlfriend. And you're going to go and pour a drink on her beautiful hair on national TV. But no one said anything about that. People don't even bring that up anymore. Because he's abusive. He's abusive in terms of
his
words.
Because he's done other fucked up things to her that they're like, oh, we focus on those things, not those old fucked up things.
But people give him a pass because they think he's cute, he's charming. But I mean, this dude's in his, what, almost mid-40s already?
I would say probably, and he's like late 30s.
But what does he have of significance? I mean, Tom Sandoval really did push for that restaurant. For the way it is now, it's really Tom Sandoval. Exactly. Let's be honest here.
Well, last
Katie's
season,
not wrong. Katie's not wrong.
Last season, they discussed a little bit about how Tom Sandoval felt like he was putting money on Katie and Schwartz's dinner table by doing these brand deals and doing all these things and including Tom as like a duo. And he's not wrong. Tom Sandy is always hustling. Again,
he's definitely hustling. Yeah.
You know, really annoying and a little bit of like a martyr. Like, look at me. I'm so perfect and helpful and a great friend. All of these perfect things. I have a perfect life. But I think he does do a lot of work, and he gives Tom Schwartz opportunities that he definitely wouldn't be getting without him. And
oh yeah,
that's hard in a duo. And even James said in the reunion that he's like, you know, Schwartz, like, you're in the sidecar.
You're in the sidecar.
Don't forget it.
What can he say to that? Because it's true. You're in the damn sidecar, dude. You're the sidekick to Tom Sandoval, and you're basically riding on his coattails. And I don't wish that for him at all. I wish Tom would show up and hustle, because you see Tom doing that, and it's very, you know, it's very obvious. I mean, the guy's even got a band that actually tours, and that takes a lot of effort in itself, you know? And it's pretty damn good.
I've seen video of them playing, and they look like they're having an absolute blast. The tickets were expensive when I looked. And I'm like, well, all right, next time you're in New York, maybe.
Can I get a photo pass for free?
Oh, yeah, look at you. Honestly, you know.
That's Sandy, the only reason why I would do that.
But I think Tom Schwartz will definitely go through more emotional turmoil this year. I think we'll see him trying to date, I guess. We obviously see him with Raquel, which we've mentioned. I don't know where it's going for him. And also, you know, they like refinanced their house to get money for this bar. They got nothing. He's going through a divorce. He is going to be like on celebrity rehab, I would say, in about 3 years.
He's like, in a midlife crisis before the midlife crisis. Tom Schwartz is like you said, failing upwards, but it's just disaster to see that.
Yeah, it's sad. I will say, his skin didn't look as ghostly as previous seasons. So maybe he does have a little bit of a spark back in his body since.
Well, he's not with Katie anymore.
That'll bring you down. And, you know, again, they both play their parts in their breakup. And, you know, everybody, there's things we don't know that we haven't seen that go along between the two of them.
We're going to see what exactly was the cause of the divorce. Obviously, we kind of knew that that was going to happen at some point, but it happened quicker than we thought. But, I mean, who are you, Tom Schwartz, to talk about Lala Kent and the way she looks? And I'm intrigued to see, just based off that trailer, why it was so toxic between Lala and Tom. Like, what happened there, you know? Did they ever really like each other, though?
There was definitely, like, I feel like sexual tension on, like, Lala's earlier seasons, where she's like, tits out for the boys, when they were, like, on some vacation, and she was, like, topless in a lagoon somewhere, and he was like, Katie, I look at Lala's boobs, and she was like, I'm gonna kill her! But I think, I'm guessing that Lala is sticking up for Katie after the Raquel makeout situation, and she's like, how could you do that? You're a pig. And then he just goes for low-hanging fruit. He's like, you're a real housewife, you're this. It's like, Tom, you guys are all like on the same network as the Real Housewives. Like, is that
no one's above each other?
She would love to be a real housewife. Like, that's probably the next step for her. But last season, or maybe the last season, I can't remember the seasons now, like with the COVID seasons, I can't remember. I'm like, was that an in-person event? But he told Sheena, like, oh, you're a bootleg Kardashian, you're this. Tom, like, you're a reality star too. Just because you don't have, like, the notoriety or, like, a trait that would make people be like, oh, you're such a Tom Schwartz, like, doesn't mean you're not, like, a reality TV trope in itself. And I do think we're going to see a new side of him this year where they're not going to protect him as much as they've done in the past. Like, I think Katie... horribly. So it's like, you know, when you see how fucking rude Katie can be, you feel bad for Schwartzy. But then now, when it's like, I mean, there were moments.
Tom's like, true colors need to come out. They need to come out.
They do.
Because he's been protected, like you said, he's been protected for so long by the viewers, by Lisa. Lisa calls the shit out of Tom Schwartz. And Katie's always, and honestly, as much insufferable as Katie is sometimes, she always gets the brunt of everything. It's always Katie's fault, not Tom Schwartz's fault. So I think this season, yeah. I think we'll see that this season.
Definitely. I mean, I will always say my favorite Katie moment was like when they were going to Mexico, I think, and Tom got on a first class flight and she's like, get up. Give me that seat. And he's like, no.
that's when you knew they were getting a divorce in the future. Trust.
And then like the two of them like on the balcony of their hotel room just like screaming at each other, and like all the other people, like all the other friends, like Jax and Sandoval, are like listening like, oh, this is
vacation, bro.
Horrific. Like,
this is vacation, bro. Quit bringing that bad energy around.
Oh my god. And you know what? Good. Let's see some new fresh meat. So everyone is basically single. We have Raquel, James, Katie, Lala. We've got a lot of singletons, which is good. Supposedly, one of the conversations that were, you know, included in the trailer was a conversation, I believe, with, who was it? Oh, Sheena, of course.
She's just skating on by this season.
I know. Well, we got a lot to talk about with Sheena, but Sheena is telling Tom Sandoval that Katie said that Tom and Ariana have an open relationship, which I wouldn't.
I don't hate an open relationship at all. I wouldn't be shocked either.
I think it's good. You know, they have this new type of relationship. I feel like people on Bravo are so quick and dying to get married, especially on this show. Like, Sheena's going on second wedding on this show. When you have your second wedding on Bravo, one, it means you've been on TV for too long, and two, it's like renewing your vows on Bravo. Like, it's not going to work. And so when you have a second wedding on Bravo, it's 100% not going to work. Cynthia Bailey, I feel like, is the only person who's had two weddings on Bravo. Both have, you know, unfortunately not worked for her, but Sheena, it's a wrap. It's a wrap on weddings. Like, I don't even think they're going to give her a big wedding arc. I think they're going to be like the bachelorette trip. I think they teased two different cast trips, one to Mexico and one to Vegas. And I'm thinking the Mexico one will probably be some kind of like bachelor or bachelorette trip. And Brock was doing a champagne shower, which that guy is like,
Brock's the worst. I'm sorry.
He's the worst. Like,
and he just reeks of broke. And like, he's got an accent. Broke. Ooh, okay.
Well, how I can have an accent are women too. To just like drop panties for an accent? I don't know. Maybe when I was 21, I was like, wait, like, where are you? Oh my God, from?
His accent.
With he's an, got accent an accent or without.
But he's broke and doesn't pay child support. Red flags, bro. Red
and
flags.
And he casually was talking. Hello. He was casually like, yeah, you know, I smacked up my wife. Yeah, well, what's it to you? It's like,
don't say it like that. But yeah, I slapped my wife, and now I have to pay child support. Like the audacity,
the audacity of like this man being like, whatever. Like I don't pay child support. No, I don't have a job. Yes, I'm like now Sheena's like.
Yes, I don't have a green card. I'm definitely not getting with Sheena for a green card, though. Definitely not.
No. They're not, like, expediting all of their wedding and all of their, you know, plans to work around his green card situation, which, you know, let's not forget what Brock and Sheena did last year at James and Raquel's engagement party. It would have been the only, you know, like, wedding to kind of come from that party. It might have been worth it if there was at least one wedding that weekend, but...
That was so rude, by the way.
That was so, so rude. And I understand Sheena's point of saying, well, you know, something good is happening for me too. Like, I want to be able to have good things happening to me. Just because we're at their engagement party doesn't mean I can't be engaged.
No one's saying that. The party's not about you, Sheena.
Like, you could have told everybody you got engaged a week before the wedding or in the engagement party, and that would have been it. Like, that would have also kind of been a little rude, a little extra to then obviously be Sheena with like her ring pop fake ring being like, I'm engaged at an engagement party. But like what she did,
it's not a real diamond.
The avenue she chose to take was just even worse, with no respect for her friends and, you know, the special day that they planned. And, you know, as much as that marriage will never see the light of day, that party was gorgeous. and James
party.
And Raquel, I think Raquel is like a young little rich girl who like has good taste. Like, I feel like Raquel is like not a tacky moron like all the rest of them. I was listening to Sheena's podcast. She said this year is like the year of Raquel, and that we're really going to see like all these new sides of her and this big booming personality that must have gone unnoticed.
Where did it come from?
You know, where did it come from? And maybe it. She's been like, you know, she's
playing
unleashed
down.
A new personality by ending things with James. But we see her going on a date with Peter Madrigal. Why do they drag Peter out here to go on these embarrassing ass dates with these women? He's been on a date with every woman on this show, and he's so weird. Like, he just has no game. And it's like, yeah, he's like 53. And like,
he's getting up there.
You know, he's always with shirts that are so unbuttoned. Like, there's, like, the top seven buttons.
All the way down.
Open. Just chest. Which I don't even know if he has chest hair. The whole thing.
For 10 straight years.
10 straight years. Oh, my God. Never
there's
forget
so many
that.
More options out there for Raquel. But I feel like, for some reason, she's playing this game where she's trying to stay within the whoever's getting on TV. Which is, I guess, is going to show us this year. Her intentions, like, why are you hooking up with Madrigal? Why are you hooking up with Garcelle Bouvet's son? And now Tom Schwartz. I mean, there's other dudes outside of reality television that you could possibly get with. You're a beautiful girl.
Mm-hmm. We shall see about Raquel. I don't know. We see Katie on a date with some brunette guy, a long, curly haired brunette. She was smooching with him. I don't know.
I'm all for them dating, though, like getting out there and seeing what's going on, because it also is going to bring new characters into the mix that could be good for them or could be bad. But if it's bad, it's great for the show.
I mean, any kind of dating on this show is always a gold mine. And especially in this case now where, you know, the stakes are a little bit higher, where, you know, Lala's a single mom now. And at one point she's like, I'm looking for a stepdad for Ocean. I'm like, oh my God. And then she proceeds to say that she's hooking up left and right. And supposedly she couldn't sleep on her bed because it was so soaked.
So soaking wet.
Soaked.
Which you said was TMI.
Wet. Truly TMI. And I'll never forget this. And this is so crass and so gross.
Because you know that wasn't happening with Randall. You know it wasn't happening with Randall.
Well, she would say, she was like, oh, in one sex conversation I think she was having with Stassi, she said, I stick a water bottle up me and like put the water in there. And that's like a thing, it's a thing porn stars do to kind of fake an exaggerated, you know,
crazy orgasm.
And when I heard her say that she did that, I'm like, you are doing like porn moves. You're bringing in props, like a water bottle squeegee thing, like the squirt bottle to catch a man like Randall. Girl, what are you doing? Like, do less. Like, I feel like it's less.
You got her on the PJ. Some of these fucking,
it got her, cut her on a PJ. Oh God, Randall. We obviously really only get like a little snippet about Randall, and it's talking, and it's Lala and Lisa Vanderpump chatting over, you know, a serious dinner. It's very somber music, talking about, you know, I think she said, I want to know why people are accusing him of the things they're accusing him of doing. Because he probably did them. Like, you don't know why people are accusing him. Maybe because he's like a cheater and a liar, clearly owes people money, is a shady businessman, is a shady father, is a shitty ex-husband. The writing was on the wall from
day one. I'm sorry, Lala's smart. She's not stupid. Okay. She's claimed to be smart all these years, and I love Lala, but you don't come for other people and then not look at your own house, because there's no way she did not know what was going on with Randall, all of his ins and outs. He was never home, apparently. So you're telling me, being the smart chick that you are, you're never going to go and look, hey, where's my man at? Oh, I got to get on the PJ. My baby needs some formula. I need to know where my man's at. You're telling me you never ever questioned until you found out last minute when a news story broke out that he was with two chicks cheating on you? There's no way.
Yeah, you have to be really fucking blind.
Maybe someone will call her out this season on that.
And last season at the reunion, there was that conversation where most of the guys, I guess it was Tom Sandoval and James Kennedy, were talking about like, yeah, you know, I'd see Randall around at bars buying girls drinks. And she's like, well, why didn't you tell me? It's like, Lala, you wouldn't have listened. Like, James.
She would have deflected.
Yeah, James never had the best, bedside manner in telling people things. But he was never really wrong about Randall. He always would be like, you're fucking a fat man who pays your bills. And it's like, you know, if he would have just taken.
James being honest again.
Yeah, like, he's not wrong. But if James would have said, like, you know, he's shady and kind of explained to her, like, yeah, not only is he, like, a literally a gross fat man. Which, like, again, not body shaming, do whatever. Right. Like, he's, you know, fine. But, James, you could have navigated telling her that he's a bad guy in other ways. Like, I feel like she was so offended.
Which James has, James does not have that part of him that can be, like, a good person that's, like, hey, this dude isn't good for you. He's more of attacking most of the time. So, but, yeah, definitely, I definitely think the whole Randall situation, we need to dive into for season 10, for sure. Because there's a lot of questions there that are unanswered. Yeah. And apparently there's a lot of stuff going on right now with Randall. Apparently, like, he's broke now. There's all these allegations against Randall. Where was all this last season? I mean, we missed all that. So I want to see it this season. And I want to see if Lala knew anything about it.
With Randall's situation, it's going to get murky because I feel like he's like highly litigious. And so if Lala goes on the show and if everybody on the show is really talking shit about him, like, I feel like he'll sue. Like, I feel like he wants to kind of protect his name and his reputation, even though he's an actual like garbage person. And, you know, he will never be able to like get a proper real job. Like, if any creditor or other producer wants to work with him, like, they're going to Google him. And, like, I think he's, like, being alleged for, like, creepy things with children now. I'm like, I can't even get into that. But, you know, he's definitely not going to be able to really bounce back, I think, in any legitimate way in terms of a career.
Right.
Like, he was like, oh, I was a producer on The Irishman and this movie and this movie and this movie and this movie. It's like, yes, but as we were seeing, as we found out, you know, you were giving whatever, $500,000 to a movie, for a movie to be made, and you took that money from other people. Like, it's not your money. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you're taking other people's money and then investing that as your own, you know, it's shady. And
you're robbing Peter to PayPal.
Exactly. And even last season when the girls were like, we're opening something about her, we're looking for investors, which, one, I do want to say, like, why have these people, like, never fucking saved any money? Like, these people have, like, I don't understand, like, you have all this money, you probably
they spend their money on a $2 million house that they couldn't afford.
It's fucking baffling. I'm like, you go to these events, you know, if you go to a club appearance, if you do this, if you post on Instagram, these people could be making $10,000-$15,000 for one fucking day of work, and they're like, we can't muster up $150K between the two of us. It's like, then why are you doing this job? Like, you're selling your soul and you can't even have some savings to open up a business. But the two girls are like going to Randall, like a sugar daddy, like, oh, Randy, can we have some money for our feminine sandwich shop? And then obviously when they broke up, you know, they decided, you know, we're no longer going to be taking any money from him. But it came out on the reunion that Lala knew that the money that he was giving the girls wasn't even his own money. He was taking somebody else's money. And so Ariana and Katie didn't even realize that they would actually have, like, another partner. It wasn't just Randall. It was Randall and someone else's, you know.
Well, the investment. Fact that Lala didn't even mention that it was going to end up coming from someone else, and there would be another partner involved.
You know,
that's
Lala's
something that needs
smart.
To come up too.
She got out of there. And I will applaud Lala because she got the fuck out of there. She got Ocean and she said, we're the fuck out. We're done. We're not doing this. I think it is brave and it's hard. And, you know, as much as, you know, he's a dirtbag and, you know, she has, you know, her moments, she became a single mom overnight and, you know, was.
You have to give her props.
Yeah, like, you have to give her props. And she's bounced back. And even even on the trailer, they talk about, or I don't know, maybe actually on Lala's podcast that I was listening to, she was saying that all of them are pretty much living in apartments now, like James, Katie, Lala, like, they're back in apartment living. We're no longer going to be seeing, like,
Lala's, I love an apartment.
Like, stunning mansion. I love an apartment.
I love, like, I love a window unit, an AC window unit in an apartment in 2023.
And you know that
one of them has
can't be turned on because it would be too loud for production. So they're sweating their asses off.
I want to know where that original AC unit went. Can we bring back that AC unit and put it in someone's apartment as a little shrine?
It's going to be like at BravoCon next year and like that museum they do of like random shit. From Bravo.
We have to find the serial number. We have to find it.
We turn it in.
Okay, I'm looking at the trailer a little bit right now, and there are some things that I see here where Tom Schwartz is getting a drink thrown on his face, very much deserved. Yeah. Very much deserved. I see where you were talking about Katie is making out with the curly haired dude. Ariana's getting a little into the mix. I mean, Ariana's kind of played it safe. We can say that.
Yeah.
I want to see more from Ariana this season because I've always loved Ariana. Always thought she was pretty open, honest girl. And I think this season, maybe she needs to step out a little, get a little bit more into the mix. But I would love to see that from Ariana this season.
Yeah, I've always liked Ariana too, and I think over the last couple of years, she's really like opened up about her mental health struggles and her sexuality. And I've always admired how her and Tom are kind of thick as thieves, and they've been able to weather so many storms together.
And they don't really get into it like you would think, like a lot of the couples do on the show.
I feel like they have, you know, again, they have moments where, like, their fights are not, you know, civil and
super
they're
deep.
Both being petty. But I feel like they always can kind of, like, come back at the end of a fight and be like, what's our common goal? It's to be together, to be in love, and to keep moving forward. And I feel like they're good at that, where they can resolve issues effectively. But I do feel like Ariana is just, like, miserable. Because, yeah, like, I feel like she doesn't have a direction. I feel like she's, like, embarrassed that she's on this show. Like, I feel like she thinks she's cooler than a reality girl on Vanderpump Rules. But then this is, you know, her job.
This is what she has, yeah. Her
bills, and this is what she has. And she's tried all these podcasts. And, you know, she's tried all these little businesses here and there. But nothing's really ever stuck. And so hopefully we see her kind of blossoming into her own with the sandwich shop. If that opens, I'll have a pastrami on rye. I feel like they're not going to have pastrami. Add something about her.
I would love a pastrami. Like
a I would actually like that right now.
That sounds delicious.
Well,
I think we covered it all.
I was going to say we covered it all. And also, I just got like,
I think we pretty much, I was just trying to go back and see what we didn't cover, but we covered it all.
I think we truly covered it all. Well, Vinny, thank you so much for coming on this show. I so appreciate it. And I feel like we have an amazing, you know, 22 repertoire weeks or so.
Repertoire and a good season coming up that we can talk about in the future.
Yes. Well, maybe we can talk about the season as a whole. That's actually what we should do. I guess after the reunions, we'll talk about like the full season and we'll kind of compare notes to what we're saying today versus what we see. And yeah, this will probably be, again, 23 episodes. So in 4 months,
Jesus.
Sometimes you look at it, it's like, wow, that's on for a very long time. But
when is it coming on? What nights are it coming on?
Wednesdays at 9 p.m.
Okay, so I'll have my beers at around that time, so that works out for me.
I know. Next time I'll be drinking too, because yeah, last night I went a little hard, so I was hurting a little this morning. So I'm doing an oatmeal cappuccino kind of episode. But Vinny, where can people find you, follow you, go on your website, all the things? Pimp yourself out.
You could follow me on Instagram at Vince David Photos. You can follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/VinceDavidPhotos, and I have a website. You can view all my cool photography I've done with a lot of different random artists, VinceDavidPhotos.smugmug.com, and reach out to me. I would love to talk about everything Bravo because I love watching all the Bravo TV shows. So reach out to me, guys.
Please. And yeah, I'll put all your links and whatnot in the show notes. So if anybody
Please.
Wants some easy access, they could get it there. Thank you again. Thank you for listening to Bravo Happy Hour. We're back, bitches. Welcome back.
Welcome back. Bravo Happy Hour. Back, baby.
Thank you for being such a great guest. Oh my goodness, this was so fun.
Good talking to you. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
Alrighty, have a good one.
Bye, you too.